Okay. Well, today is about that mighty, mighty gift of joy. And what we're going to be talking about today, the title of my talk is Let It Go and It Will Flow. And it's a continuation, really, of our focus this month on spiritual prosperity. And what I'd like us to consider together this morning is this, that there is a mighty, mighty flow of life. There is an unlimited creative force. There is a universal power for good that is everywhere, all of the time, and desires expression in its fullness, in and through and as all of creation, including each of us. And that even though, as children of God, really? Do I need to get still or take it off? I think I'd be better taking it off. Okay. Is that better? All right. Okay. You remember what I've said so far, because I can go back. You're good with it? We're talking about that mighty flow that's present right here and right now. And that even though, as children of God, we actually have the power to limit that flow, to limit that creative power, to limit our experience of the kingdom of heaven, the question this morning is, why on earth would we? Now, bless you, Brenda. And that's going to be on the iPod, and people are going to be wondering about that. Okay. Now, there's probably no one here this morning who would say no to a beautiful gift that was offered, no strings attached. And probably not one of us here would say, you know, I've got enough good in my life, I don't want any more. And yet, if our experience of life and the richness of creation isn't expanding every day, when it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, no strings attached, or if our experience of good feels stagnant, or if it's going downhill, then even though we are not conscious of it, we are the ones who are limiting the abundant flow of good in our experience. In the Bible, in Malachi 3:10, this is one of my favorite verses, and I know you've heard it too. Prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out blessings for you until you shall say, it is enough. See, only we can say enough to the flow of good in our life. Only we can limit that which by its nature is unlimited as the only creative power that is flowing forth and pouring forth goodness to all of its creation all of the time. It's as if we stand in our own way. We stand with our back turned to this radiant, eternal light, and we cast a shadow in our own experience. And rather than turning towards the light, we stand and we stare at our shadow and believe in the darkness of our own making. In A Course in Miracles, we read that only you can limit your creative power, but God wills to release it. He no more wills you to deprive yourself of your creations than he wills to deprive himself of his. We are by nature creative beings because we're made in the image and likeness of God. And we live and move and have our being in spirit. And spirit is forever creating. And as spiritual beings, we are creating too. Whether we're creating peace and harmony, or noise and chaos and conflict. Ernest Holmes wrote in The Science of Mind that our thoughts are creative, not because we will it so, but because it already is so. We cannot change this, nor escape from its effects. There is nothing immovable or immobile about us, even when there seems to be, because we live in the flow of a mighty life. And we move with its currents like drops of water in the ocean. And even when we get hung up on some mental concept that says we're separate, that flow is constantly urging us forward. It urges us to move gently. Now, each of us right now, right where we're sitting, are creating something. Now, we're either creating something that is enriching or enhancing, or we're creating something that is resisting the flow of life in us. Something that is adding to a seemingly immovable wall or impenetrable dam that blocks that flow of good in our life. Now, when we focus on and are open to our oneness with God, then that flow is open, and we stand in that flow unimpeded. But when we are hung up and stuck in the belief that we are separate from God, then we create a block that actually impedes the flow of life through our experience. See, when we hang on to those hardened ideas that we are somehow living outside of spirit, that because we're living outside of spirit, we are also living outside the divine flow of good, then we seem to become more anchored. And we kind of look to the world to tell us why we're stuck. And so we look at what we could have and would have and should have done differently in the past. And when we hang on to what was, whether that was 5 minutes ago, yesterday, or years ago, then what we do is hinder our experience of what is right here and right now. Because what is flows through us with all of its richness, with all of its abundance, right here and right now. So when we're holding on to the past, it's like crying over spilt milk. And we all know how senseless crying over spilt milk can be. And yet, when we are looking at the past and blaming it for our current conditions, if we just can't seem to let it go, no matter what it is, then it's like looking at the spilled milk, wishing it hadn't spilled, and trying to figure out what we did or what somebody else did to spill it so that it won't happen again. And all the while, we're not noticing that the milk is still flowing. It's flowing in unlimited supply, and all we have to do is provide a container for it. And then in this instance, the container is our mind. In the flow of life, there's not a little bit of God over there, a little bit more over there, any more than in the ocean. There could be a little bit more ocean here and a little bit more ocean there. And so if our life is looking like spilt milk, if it's looking like lost opportunities for love, for education, for a career, for healthy lifestyle choices, it's important for us to know that that life is still flowing and is still here for us. with all of its richness, with all of its life-enriching goodness, as much as it's always been, and as much as it always will be. Ernest Holmes wrote that as we come to realize that thoughts are things, we shall also see that different kinds of thoughts will produce different types of effects. But it's also important for us to realize that even though our thoughts affect the way life flows through us, that our thoughts do not have the power to create what God did not. See, sometimes when we talk about the creative nature of our thoughts, we can get really frightened of our thinking. We worry about our negative thoughts. We worry that somehow they're going to take form when the good thoughts don't seem to. And so the more we worry about the power of our negative thoughts, unfortunately, the more creative power we give them. And the more creative power we give them, the more real they seem to us. And the more real they seem to be, the more we worry about them. And so all the while we're worrying, we seem to be out of the flow of what is and what is life-enriching in the moment. For example, maybe we've gone to the doctor for some little old thing, and then we got home and the doctor's office called and said that the doctor wants to do some tests. And the thought comes to us, well, uh-oh, there's something wrong with me. And so we don't want to worry about that because we know if we worry about that, that that's not really going to be good for us. And so we try not to worry, but then the negative thoughts come in and we give them a lot of power because we're trying to keep them away. And we know that they're going to make the condition worse that we're now convinced we have. So we don't want to be negative about this condition that we have. And the more we worry about it, and the more we think about it, and the more we want to keep from worrying and affecting ourselves, the more sick we feel, the more real it feels. And so rather than being in the flow, that natural flow of health that is ours as a child of God, we're stuck in this whirlpool of worry, round and round, while life is flowing around us and would flow through us if we would just let go. So life flows through us as we allow it to. See, it's important for us to think of the thoughts that we entertain not as having the power to create what God would not, but rather as being the ways and means, as being those molds and those forms of thought through which life flows into our experience. So that when we know that we're one with God and we focus on that oneness, we create some beautiful thought forms, some lovely thoughts and shapes through which life flows and expands because we're expansive in our thinking. And when we're into that mindset of being separate and not having and needing, we can make some really ugly molds and forms of thought that constrict and narrow our experience of a life that is abundant by nature and would flow through us if we would just open up to its presence. How life flows through us is what our thinking determines. Life, in all its abundant goodness, flows with the grace of its presence. It will never change its nature as it flows in and through and as creation. Now, this one flow of life knows us only as children of God. And because the law of spirit is always in integrity with itself and its creation, and because we have been given free will by God, our Creator, then the flow of life, this mighty, mighty flow of life, can only flow through us. It will never force us out of its grace, out of its knowing who we are. It will never force us to let go. It will never break down our walls of resistance. They are ours to build as high as we want until we decide to let them go. The law of spirit functions in integrity in the same way as every other natural law. For instance, we can't influence the law of gravity to work for us or against us. The law of gravity just is, and it functions according to its gravitational nature. And so, if we take a beautiful flower arrangement and we set it on our table and it stays there, that's due to the law of gravity. And if we were to jump out of a 12-story building and fall on the concrete and stay there, that would also be due to the law of gravity. Now, in the first case, the law of gravity brought about beauty, and in the latter, pain and death. But in either case, the law of gravity worked not because we willed it, but because it was already so. In other words, our use of the law of gravity didn't affect the nature of the law of gravity. And in the same way, our thoughts, in and of themselves, have no power to affect the nature of spirit or to change the perfection of God. All our thoughts do is create the ways and means through which life flows into our experience. So, if we think sickness and lack, we don't manufacture them. It's just that when our thoughts are out of sync with the flow of life, then just like anything else that is cut off from its source, we feel the lack. And we experience need. And so we need to get healthy. We need to find love. We need to earn money. We need to develop creativity. And we need to seek peace, because these are the things that are absent when we separate ourselves from our source. Not because they're not there, but we have separated ourselves in our thinking. And in the same way, when we think health and abundance, we don't create them. Health is the natural flow of the perfection of life flowing through us, as us. And when we think thoughts of abundance, we align ourselves with the source, that unlimited, abundant flow of life that is always there. We don't create it, and we don't start and stop its flow. We simply allow ourselves to experience it. We align ourselves, we align our will with the will of God. And while we're aligned with the will of God, we are right there, open to those windows of heaven that are pouring forth our abundant good from the inside out. And so when we're open to that flow, then it appears to us like an increase in our earth life, an increase in our health, an increase in our finances, an increase in happier relationships. See, this is the ever-presence we're talking about that's right here and right now. The ever-presence of God that is unchanging and moves in and through and as all of creation. It's important for us to realize that our thinking doesn't influence God. Not our negative or positive thoughts don't influence the nature of spirit. Our prayers don't influence God to do anything God isn't already doing. What happens is that as we open up, as we change our thinking, as we think differently about who we are, then the flow happens. Not because we've done anything, but because we've opened up to the thing that's being done. And then we allow it to be done through us. We don't have to change ourselves with our thinking. We need to change our thinking about ourselves so that we realize who we are. And we realize that that power and that presence flows through us always, right here and right now. No strings attached. And so this morning, I'd like to invite us all to turn within, to close our eyes to the light of this world and open up to that light that is within us. Let us know that the flow of life within us knows us only as the child of God. And through its grace, through its reverence, it flows through us according to our beliefs. And so this morning, if you've been knowing something that just isn't so about the child of God, and it's been keeping you stuck in a life that is filled with good, that has the power to create, that is unlimited in its creative force and desires to express in its fullness through you right now. No distance. For that power is present always. Let us open up to that spirit in which we live and move and have our being. Let us feel the grace of God that is forever present. And let us entertain beautiful thoughts that are expansive and allow that flow to come into our life and express in our world. The experience of life is up to each of us. Life itself is made by God. Let us choose to focus on our oneness and open to that goodness that is always there. Feel the peace that flows into your experience. The love that fills your heart as it flows from you and fills this sanctuary. Feel the perfection of this life flow through your body. And feel its abundance increasing in everything you do, in everything you are, in everything you have, in everything you share. Our meditation doesn't influence God. God is right here and for us right now. Let us simply open ourselves to who we are. And when you're ready, open your eyes. We haven't come into this world with empty hands to be filled by earthly things. Because of the wholeness of the universe, just like the wholeness of the ocean, wherever we are, God is. And as we open to that truth, then whatever need seems to be, it flows easily. It's fulfilled easily as we open to the flow within us. In Hosea 2:21, and let me tell you, you don't hear Hosea quoted very often, so listen up. It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth. The whole universe stands behind us. The power of heaven and earth is with us. And all our thoughts have the power to do is simply entertain beautiful, unique thoughts of ourselves as the child of God and as creation, as the kingdom of heaven. That's what our thoughts do. They don't create the kingdom. They simply open to it. And so I invite all of us, as a spiritual practice this week, to choose to release and let go of the tiny, minuscule idea we have of ourselves and of this life, and open to the magnificence of our being, to meditate upon the richness and fullness of this life in which we live and move and have our being always. As you accept that you are a unique spiritual being, a living soul with unlimited potential, because you have never left your unlimited source, the living spirit, then you open the flow of life in you. And it flows in and through and as you, as your body, as your relationships, as your activities, as your finances. Because all of these things are just one thing, one thing. The flow of life, the mighty, mighty flow of life, filled with richness, expressing as you. If you let it go, it will flow. Thank you.